Okay, let me officially welcome everyone to Momentum Mastery Monthly. Today is our call for December 2010, and the focus of our call is New Year Creation for 2011. So I am super, super excited about what we've got lined up here for you today. And even though this is a call about New Year Creation, you may find that this is a call, a CD that you want to come back to again and again. Anytime you need a little creative boost and want to refine some clarity or create a little bit more alignment in what you're moving towards, this is going to be the CD packed full of ideas to really set you up in that way. So here is what we're going to be talking about today. New Year Creation for 2011. We're going to talk about the single most important factor in New Year creating to help you magnetize your goals more easily and effortlessly. We're going to really focus on four key methods for clarifying your 2011 vision. We're going to talk about how you can allow your body, mind, and spirit to align even more fully with your intentions for 2011. And we're also going to talk about some of the biggest mistakes people make in setting up their new year for success. And the intention is to leave you inspired and really ready to put some energy and time into supercharging your focus for the year so that really this time next year that you look back and say, yep, I really lived into what was aligned with my values, what was important to me, what my dreams, what my desires were. So that is my intention. So first off, I want to talk a little bit about this single most important factor in New Year creation that will really help you magnetize your goals more easily and effortlessly. And each of the four processes really integrates this element and helps us, you know, bring that in. And that really is about being emotionally connected. We can do goal planning and visioning, and if we are not emotionally connected to that, then there's going to be, you know, it's like one thing to say things intellectually, it's another thing to be just so passionately fired up and juiced with it. It's the juice that really propels everything forward. And, you know, we'll really see how this emotional alignment is really the biggest thing. So as you're beginning to think about, you know, what you most want to create in your life, you may take some notes here and just begin to brainstorm. You know, do you want an amazing relationship? You know, and how would that really feel if you were, you know, if that partner was already in your life and you were having that ideal relationship? Now, how would you treat them? What activities would you enjoy together? If you want a thriving business, what activities would fill up your day? Who would you be spending time with? How confident and decisive would you be? And if you desire a fit and trim body, I know, can you imagine yourself eating healthy foods and looking forward to visiting the gym? You know, really imagining what it would be like to be 15 pounds lighter or 5 pounds lighter or 50 pounds lighter, whatever the number is for you. And if you desire a year filled with inner peace, what practices would you relax into on a daily basis? What would you be saying no to? How would it feel to bathe in bliss at any moment? So we want to really begin to, you know, kind of play with, you know, what are part of those visions. You may go around the wheel of life, looking at career, finances, physical environment, fun, money, significant other relationship, personal growth. Look at each of the areas and really look, you know, what are you really wanting to magnetize in your life for the new year? And just to illustrate a little bit about this emotional connection piece, I was just talking with a client fairly recently who has in the last couple of years, been through a divorce, is in a relationship where he's sort of kind of seeing the woman that he really feels like is the one, but she's in the process of completing a divorce, and so it's not quite happened. But we were checking in today and really, you know, asking him, you know, what he really wanted in terms of that ideal vision in relationship, and committed and passionate, fun. So he kind of named some things. And then we asked that question, you know, how would you like to feel, or how would you feel if you step into that vision fully? And there were four things that he said. He said, I'd feel deeply connected. There would be sort of a sense of like amplifying everything in life, so kind of an amplification. He would feel really loved, unconditionally loved, and he would really feel that the person was really committed to them. So then we went through, and on a scale of 1 to 10, we said, okay, well, let's just step into that deep sense of connection. Okay, deep sense of connection. You know, how strongly can you step into that right now? And he's like, well, 6, 7. Okay, so how about amplifying your life? How much can you step into that right now? And he was like, well, that one's not so good. You know, maybe like a 4. How about if we like really have you step into just imagining what it's like to feel totally loved? And he was like, oh, that was like a 2. And then the last one, how about feeling as though somebody is totally committed to you? He's like, oh, that was like a 0. So we might look and see, and like this were his authentic answers, and even to consciously give him some encouragement to step into it, really apparent that those emotional muscles were not there. So, of course, we sent him home with the assignment of really consciously flexing each of these emotional muscles, because if we can bring in his nervous system a sense of deep connection, of an amplification of life, of feeling loved, of feeling a sense of what it is to be committed to, as we raise that up, then he becomes a vibrational match for attracting that into his life. If he doesn't, if at some level he just really doesn't feel like he's lovable, that he's worthy of that, well, you know, what are the chances of a long-lasting relationship being attracted into his life, or then ultimately working out? As we talk about all four of these processes that are related, and I encourage you to go for all of these. That would really be my recommendation, is to go for all four of these. But the biggest key is really about this emotional connection. If we just think about it, if it's just in our mind, it's going to be less likely to happen. Emotionally connected, we're going to be more powerfully drawn to allow inspiration to flow through us and actually do what we need to do to energetically attract these things. So that is the first key to know about the emotional engagement. And I also want to make a note before we jump into each of these four processes, and as we get to the end of the call, I'd love to check in with our listening audience about kind of some key themes for you for the year. We're going to talk about that as one of the things, and maybe some of the top goals or visions for yourself. So just to get some ideas from our listening audience. So be making some notes as we go along. But one other kind of pre-homework I really recommend is you're sitting down on your day to really, you know, carve out your new year, is to complete some pre-homework. And that really relates to last week's call on end-of-year completion. So really going through, I won't go do a complete review, but to really go through, take an inventory of the wins from last year, of any disappointments of the year, really take an inventory of what you learned, what you're grateful for, doing some celebrating, really acknowledging 2010 in a way that's going to be powerful and acknowledging. Because doing that is going to set the framework for you to have a clean slate. It's, you know, whatever is done with 2010, maybe you're thrilled with it, maybe there's so many disappointments. One of my girlfriends a couple years ago, was, I think it was 2008, oh, it's like everything was just miserable. She had an injury. She had relationship challenges. She had, you know, just financial issues came up, so many bad things that the year rolled around. It's like, okay, I'm so ready to start a clean, fresh slate. So, you know, it doesn't matter if you've had the worst year of your life, the best year, an average year, whatever it is. It's like, let's really invite you to be complete and use the forms we've got listed in the momentumnow.ning.com forum, where you can download that worksheet to really walk yourself through end of year completion. And I'll throw in one other piece. One of my clients today had another new end of year completion question. He kind of phrased it, it's kind of like, what have I learned? But, you know, I know now how to write a first draft of a 150-page book. I now know how to make over $300,000, which is what this particular client made. You know, I now know, you know, and so he kind of went through some learnings in that way as a way of both acknowledging his learning and growth, but also acknowledging some of the key things. He now knows that he can make a one-year-old smile and laugh at a drop of the hat. You know, little fun things like that. So throw that in as a little extra bonus. So let's jump into the four key processes. First is talking about treasure mapping. Treasure mapping. And treasure mapping is sometimes known as vision boards, dream boards. There are lots of names for it. And essentially it involves getting a big poster board and going through some magazines, cutting out images that really capture that which you want to attract in your life. So we can say a picture says 1,000 words, and I would say a picture also has at least 12 emotions, right? We see a picture of a man and a woman in love holding hands walking on the beach. Like, that does so much more than maybe even just the word love itself. You know, or seeing, you know, maybe it's about a magnificent home that you want to attract in your life. Or, you know, what are some images that could capture the essence of your business growing? Is it, you know, having more and more people connected to you? You know, trafficking your blog or buying your consulting services or speaking to large audiences. Maybe it has to do with money, dollar bills, so that can be both in, you know, what do you want those dollar bills to go towards? And or maybe it's just the dollar bills building up and accumulating in your savings accounts. You know, so you may want to get images of money and so forth. So look at, you know, what kind of body type are you striving for? I know years ago that was one of the, I remember, you know, really wanting to get hot abs. So really finding kind of a set of abs that captured, you know, what I ultimately wanted my belly to look like. Where would you like to travel? Oh, what kind of home you'd like to live in? So really looking for the pictures that resonate with you. You may even add some pictures to your vision boards if you can't quite find the image that speaks to that. Sometimes it's cool to capture personal values. So maybe words like integrity, confidence, creativity, joy, inner peace. All right. And if necessary, you may create your own visuals. Maybe you use some personal photographs of yourself or create one in Photoshop. So give you an example. A few years ago, I got together with a few of my mastermind partners, Eva Gregory and Gina Gabellini, and actually a few other of our friends. I think we had a total of 7 of us that year. And, you know, everybody brought a compilation of the magazines. We spent a little bit of time talking about, you know, what we really wanted to create for that new year. And then, you know, we spent a whole day doing that. Actually, we spent 2 days, so we had like kind of a whole day where we really, you know, cut things out and kind of started doing some gluing, and then we met again the next morning and kind of finished things up, and then we all went out, you know, for lunch or something. And it was during this particular treasure mapping session that there were so many things that actually got added to my vision board that I hadn't even thought of. While we were doing this, I made up the concept of conversations with the masters that year. and even I, of course, needed a title. So I think it was Conversations with the Spiritual Masters was what originally ended up on my dream board. And I cut out pictures of Byron Katie, Dr. David Hawkins, Wayne Dyer, Debbie Ford, and I don't know, it might have been maybe Deepak Chopra or something. And sure enough, that year, I ended up finding myself at a Byron Katie 10-day school for the work, and I asked her to be a guest. And lo and behold, you know, I hadn't even thought, oh, yeah, I'm going to really do this series. It was sort of, it was there as an image up there, but I hadn't really thought through how I was going to ask all these people. It just sort of happened organically. Like, I'm at the seminar and event, and just there was the moment when I got inspired to stand up and go up and ask Katie, and she said yes, and a couple months later, we had the whole thing set up and ready to go. One of the other things that I had on that vision board was I put a picture of myself and a little wedding dress. Actually, I think it ended up being like one of those stickers that you can buy at like the office supply store, and you know, put the wedding dress under my head. And of course, it was about 6 months after the first of the year that I ended up meeting my husband, John. So this is now, this was back in 2004. I also really wanted to be a published author. So at this time, hadn't written a book. But what I did is I created a mock book cover and, you know, in Photoshop. And both of the titles that ended up, I actually created two because I thought, oh, I want to write two books, right? So put the title and then by Mary Allen and, you know, cut it out, put that on my vision board. And I will tell you what, just seeing an image with a by my name really began to shift something inside. I love books. I've got, you know, hundreds of books in my office. Really used to looking at books with other people's names on it, not so much mine. But, you know, something really started to shift and happen by putting that up there. And of course, again, we're talking about being emotionally connected. So at first it was, yeah, no, this is not a vibrational match. But the more I looked at this, you know, day in, day out, week in, week out, it really began to be a vibrational match. And interestingly enough, it was in 2004, later, it was about halfway through the year, that I had taken an e-course that I had written called Living in Choice off to a friend of mine who's a publisher of Personhood Press, and he totally agreed that this should be turned into a book. So I ended up adding three chapters to the front end of those lessons and did some closing chapters, sprinkled some quotes throughout, got a book jacket cover designed and the text layout. And by the end of the year, that book actually went to print. And that book is The Power of Inner Choice. So really powerful for anyone that's interested in becoming an author is creating yourself a mock book cover. So totally cool. One of the other things that ended up going on that treasure map was I saw Gina and Eva had, of course, we had some O magazines, and so there was a, you know, picture of Oprah that I saw Gina and Eva putting on theirs and about their book, that they were having a book that was coming out already in the works, and, you know, an image of them being on the cover of Oprah magazine, and I thought, oh, well, oh, I want to be on Oprah too. So I cut out a picture of Oprah also and plopped that onto my vision board as well. And just thinking more that I wanted to be on the show or, I don't know, you know, be in the magazine, that would be cool, right? And interestingly enough, as I'm looking at my treasure map, I used to take it, sit it out in the living room, which is where I would coach at that time. And so I'd be looking at it as I was coaching. So it was sort of always kind of subconsciously running in the background. And it was late August of 2004, and I had met John already, which, great, fabulous. I kind of knew right away that he's the one. We'll probably end up getting married. So that part of my treasure map fulfilled. Conversations with the Masters was already in full swing. I interviewed Byron Katie, and the next thing you know, I found myself at a David Hawkins event, asked him. He was on Conversations with the Masters. I reached out to Wayne Dyer. He and I had had a connection before. He said yes. So, I mean, here I've already got three out of my five, right? Like, holy cow. you know, we're on our way with conversations with the masters. There was also a big thing around inner peace that I had put on there because I was just at the tail end of my dark night of the soul and the remnants of old relationship that was just getting finished up. And I really kind of wanted to just integrate this sense of inner peace in me in a little deeper way. So that was on my vision board. So that was being fulfilled. And then I'm looking at the picture of Oprah, and I remember it being between coaching calls, and I thought to myself, yeah, I wonder how that's going to happen. And there was no attachment, anything. Literally 3 days later, I get a phone call from the Oprah Winfrey Show. Of course, when this happens, you think it's a prank phone call, but I did have caller ID, and it said Harpo. So I thought, well, I better treat this like this is the real thing because it might just be them. And I jumped on, spoke to them about my 12-week e-course and so forth. And it turns out that even that phone call from the Oprah Winfrey Show, even though I ended up deciding not to submit a proposal and video at that time because I really felt like I wasn't ready, it was the catalyst that really had me finish the book and get that published that season as opposed to waiting another whole 6 months because my publisher said, well, that, you know, the average person that goes on Oprah sells 100,000 books, and if you go on Oprah without a book, that number would be zero. So I made really the book a priority and figured, well, if I'm going to do Oprah, it'll be another time. So, but interesting how all of the things, if I look at that treasure map, because I was so emotionally connected, it was really in front of me, really had a powerful impact throughout the year. A treasure map may be something that you do every year. Sometimes you can use the same treasure map that really captures things for a longer period of time. So all depends on how you want to do it. But super fun, visual, great to kind of expand your idea of what's really possible, fun to do with a group, and really important that the visual component really creates that emotional connection that adds to that law of attraction factor. So number two, let's talk about the second method. That's the written word, the written word. And there's a few ways that you can play with this one. First off, it can be just listing out anywhere from, could be 10 to 100 goals in bullet format, right? Just, you know, list them out. Let your brain run wild. Pretend like it's Christmas time and Santa Claus is coming to town, and if you don't name it, you won't get it. You can do it in bullet format. I love taking it to the next level and really, really turning that more into a vision paragraph or, as we talked about earlier in the year, creating a year-long vision. So really in much greater detail, writing about whatever you want to attract in your life in greater detail. Bringing it to life, filling in some of the gaps and holes about how this vision can come into being, what it's like in its full color, so you can really make it real. And the more juicy details you bring into it, the more effective it's going to be at engaging those senses. Don't underestimate the power of taking a passing thought and giving it life on paper. This is one of the things I really did when it came time to now fast forward, getting married, really going into detail about how the day's unfolding. I really wanted to make sure that I was kind of calm and centered and not going stir crazy on the wedding day. And truly, those people that have read the paragraph that I wrote about the wedding would describe, oh my gosh, that's exactly how it unfolded. I think there might have been one or two details off, but those were really incredibly minor in the grand scheme of things. Again, we want language to elicit the emotions in you. Make it real. So a couple questions you can think about. What resources did you need to access in order to realize your goal, your vision? What steps did you take? Was it easy or difficult? And again, what feelings and emotions are present, both along the journey and also in the end result. So I'll read just a couple examples here. These have come from various clients. Here's one about writing. I know there's several authors, speakers, coaches that are part of Momentum Mastery Monthly. So here's an example. To organize and express my thoughts, feelings, and experiences in a way that touches, inspires, and empowers others to make new shifts, gain a better understanding of themselves and others, so they ultimately experience more abundance, love, energy, peace, joy, and freedom inside themselves. To awaken lives to a higher possibility of themselves through books, articles, and courses. To creatively pursue new avenues of expression, such as media, to get the message out to more individuals in an enjoyable and effective format that touches their heart. So that's an example for a writing vision. Here's an example of a health vision. To create and live a lifestyle which consistently causes me to be at my physical and emotional best, exemplifying and inspiring high standards of vitality, energy, and physical beauty. To create a lean body with beautiful definition. No longer doing things with willpower, doing them with energy and power to burn. Every day in every way, fulfilling the ideal of health. So those are a couple examples. You can do the same thing on the relationship side. Oh, and why not? We'll just read this one also. Here's a relationship vision. To deepen my soul connection with my life partner by enjoying, respecting, empowering, and loving one another unconditionally. To share an open and honest communication. Seeing and being seen. Listening intently. While expressing and receiving love, to experience the joys, adventures, and challenges in life with ease and resonance, to inspire other couples about what's possible in an intimate partnership, to experience a passionate, sensual, spiritual, intimate relationship that exudes ecstasy, love, and nourishment at the soul level, to learn, grow, and evolve together in a safe, nurturing, forgiving, and loving environment, ultimately bringing out the best of each individual, to create a family together that exemplifies our love and provides a nurturing home to our amazing children. So you can take bits and pieces, words that really, really resonate with you, and pull together a little vision paragraph for maybe each of your top three goals, could be for your top 10 goals. Depends on how much time and energy you want to really put it into. But I will say, one of the years that I embraced this process, and actually did for, I think there were 10 vision paragraphs for you know, one for kind of each of the key areas that I wanted to exude. And that was another one of those just off-the-chart, extraordinary years. I ended up meeting one of the most significant relationships in my life. Ended up moving to California that year. A lot of personal growth. It was actually the year I actually shifted the business I was in at the time and into coaching. So, you know, I know when we really put that energy and focus and emotional connection behind the words, we really set ourselves up to have those, you know, the most extraordinary years unfold for us. So that is method number two, the written word. So let's go to the third, and that's visualizations. So we want to here really use the power of your mind to cultivate and embody your vision more emotionally. And again, we want to bring detail, we want to bring, you know, the emotional, the feeling into it, to really bring it into your body as a way to help elicit the inspiration to power charge those goals and visions, kind of amplify the creativity factor, help you clarify. So I talked a little bit about this client of mine who's really wanting to attract, he was really ready for that relationship to be in his life. So you know, we could take each one and really visualize that deep connection. You know, even imagining various situations to be at with this partner in deep connection, whether they're in the same room together, you know, holding hands and physically close, whether they're at a dinner party, you know, where maybe they even be in different parts of the room, but really feeling that, that deep sense of connection, even if you're not even geographically in the same place. All right, so imagining the connection across multiple visuals, amplifying life. So great, you know, what does that amplification of life look like? Walking down the street, just, you know, doing exhilarating adventures together, spending time with family. Maybe it's even just sitting across the dinner table from your significant other, just really feeling that the food tastes better, the wine tastes better, just everything becomes an even more sensual and fabulous experience. Stepping into a visual, you know, what is it to really be loved? And all the different ways of that. And you might say, you know, especially in this case, wow, he can only experience it at like a level two. Okay, well, if we're going to visualize, and this is sort of an emotional visualization, we want to create the visual images, but combine it really with the emotional connection. So maybe we start with some easy places to receive love. Parents, siblings, brother, sister, really close friends, clients. And then on top of that, we begin to stack kind of that ideal romantic relationship there. And by the way, you can do this even if you're already in a significant other relationship, married. You can do this even to deepen the connection that's already there just by you strengthening the visuals and strengthening the emotional muscles. And then maybe we can take something like commitment. It might look like imagining, and literally imagining myself doing my vows in front of a group of people and just really feeling committed with my whole heart and soul. And feeling his commitment, heart and soul. And just staying with that and kind of adding to that and maybe stepping into different experiences where maybe it's about having a family and really experiencing the commitment of coming together to raise children. So lots of ways you can play around with your particular visualization, the business front. It may be whatever you're going to be taking on next. It could be everything from full practice and, you know, what that looks like energetically. Where does that get scheduled in your days? You know, are you doing live events? Are you meeting with people in person? Are you speaking to hundreds or thousands of people? So the key here with visualizations is to spend just a little bit of time each day to feel into your vision as its most realized potential. That is process number three. We talk about the fourth key method, that is in finding a theme. Finding a theme for 2011. So this isn't necessarily about having specific goals. And we talked earlier about using the written word, maybe having a list of 10 or 100 goals that you want to realize. This is more about having a theme to capture the whole energy of the year. What do you feel energy and excitement around? What engages your imagination and feels compelling? So you want to look at adopting a theme that will naturally engage the senses versus a more in-the-head kind of a goal. I'll give you a couple examples of themes. One of the participants in boot camp took on, his theme was like Year of the Donkey, which might not sound very emotional, but for him, Year of the Donkey meant that he was going to be taking a big trip to the Grand Canyon and riding a donkey down into the Grand Canyon. And if you don't know this, you need to weigh under 200 pounds in order to be eligible to ride a donkey. So for him, the Year of the Donkey was this emotional experience of going down the Grand Canyon and riding the donkey. And of course, you may guess that he had a big weight goal. He was maybe like 235 or 240, so he needed to lose like a good 35, 40 pounds in order to meet that. And that was the emotional image that really, really did it for him. You could have a theme around simplification. That could be, you know, way great, we're going to downsize. It might really be a theme around expansion. It could be around a value. Really think in terms of what might be your theme. I'm going to run through some other questions that can help you arrive at your theme. You may already know exactly what you want that to be, but I'm going to run you through a series of questions for New Year creation, and I invite you with each of these questions, which are in the worksheet in the momentumnow.ning.com forum. You can see each one of these questions in case you miss one. And by the way, when you go through these questions on your own, of course, which I highly recommend, you may want to work to create an inspiring environment. Maybe you light some candles, put on some of your favorite music. Maybe you want to do it in nature. If you're in a place not in the Midwest where it's snowing and freezing cold outside, but if you can get yourself near a warm ocean or out in the sunshine, you know, where there's grass or something, maybe it's by a fire. I do something where you really feel like it's a nurturing environment that can really have a lot to get the creative juices flowing. So if your vision were a piece of music, what piece would it be? I'm going to think about that. In one of my years, I picked Chariots of Fire, which really was a powerful yet elegant piece of music by Vangelis. Turns out I ended up walking down the aisle to the theme to Chariots of Fire a few years after that. But it could be anything. Maybe the song Celebration, or I think it's Madonna that has a song Express Yourself, or Neil Diamond's Be. You name it. You go to your favorite music. If your vision were a piece of music, what piece would it be? If your vision was from nature, what would it be? A tree, an ocean, a brook? Capturing something from nature as a metaphor for your vision. What does your vision taste like? Is it spicy? Is it sweet? What is it for you? What does it smell like? Does it smell like baked bread in the oven? Does it smell like the ocean breeze? Does it smell like fresh peppermint? What other senses can you use to develop your vision? What if your vision was 1,000 times bigger? Describe what it would be. 1,000 times bigger. This is really good to get us out of our comfort box. What would you take on? Another great one. Use a metaphor to describe your vision. Sailing metaphor. Maybe there's a sports metaphor. Nesting. Or maybe it's being kicked out of the nest. Is it about, you know, going on Broadway? What is a metaphor to describe your vision? Check in with this question. Are you forcing anything? Where can you ease off? So just notice, are you forcing anything? Where can you ease off? What can you take less seriously? What can you take less seriously? Do we need to bring some fun and humor and lightness into your vision? Create some movement. Maybe the metaphor is yoga postures. This is a really powerful question. Are there any old rules you're holding on to? Really notice any old rules that you're holding on to, which means, oh, you know, I have to do it a certain way. And as you evaluate those old rules, what can you eliminate? What can you eliminate? Another fun question, how would a six-year-old describe your vision? How would a six-year-old describe your vision? That might get really fun and creative and maybe even messy, maybe even simplifying your vision. Something like a sandbox or jumping off the high dive. Right. And then this is another really fun question. Ask yourself some what if questions. What if questions. I like to play around with this. It's like what if upping, which means not what if, oh my gosh, what if I fail? What if things don't go right? What if nobody likes me? What if I get rejected? You know, what if I get featured on the front page of the Huffington Post? What if I win the lottery? What if I have somebody hire me for a $25,000 contract or a $50,000 contract? What if I get invited on the Oprah Winfrey Show or Ellen or the Rachel Ray Show? You know, what if it was all easier than I thought? So play around with the what ifs. Let your imagination run wild. The most important is allowing yourself the creative process, that it's not something that, again, we're going for the intellectual. We want to get your whole body involved, mind, body, spirit. And this is the way to do it, is by stepping into these questions that have us looking at New Year creation in a less traditional, you know, sit down, name your top 10 goals, and, you know, one by one, let's create a step-by-step strategy for getting there. This is going to engage all of you, mind, body, spirit. Here's another last piece, which is add one outrageous or wacky element to your vision. You know, what could that be? Maybe you're going to shoot some videos. By the way, whatever you're doing these days, YouTube is one of the hottest things going. It's the number two search engine out there these days, Facebook being number one. So Facebook number one, YouTube number two, Google is now in the number three spot. So maybe you're going to do some videos for your business, and maybe you decide, wacky element of your vision, you know, could be creating, I don't know, maybe you get a clown nose or some kind of quirky outfit, you know, to do some of your talks in. Or letting the imagination run wild. Like, what's the thing that would be almost too outrageous or wacky, but kind of fun to do? So add that into your vision. So there you have it. We've got four key methods for clarifying your 2011 vision. So one, treasure mapping. Two is the written word, either listing out goals or the vision paragraphs. Three is visualizations. Four is finding a theme and really playing around with more of these creative questions. And I will say that, you know, I've been talking about, most importantly, is fully associating emotionally with your vision and whichever way really resonates most for you. Someone real visual may really go for treasure mapping. Maybe you want to just engage all of them and just do a lot of focus, energy, and attention starting now, so that come the first of the year that you really are coming out with just laser clarity and focus. The other key is to consistently connect and revisit what you do. Does a lot less good to have your vision board hid behind a door that you never get to look at. Much better having it out front, very visible at all times. Or to connect with, if you've written down some vision paragraphs that year, where I did, it would have been in 1998 actually, but I did 10, did them all for each area of my life. About once a week, I would try and go through and read and connect in with each of those visions. Probably one of the reasons that it was way more powerful than just what a lot of people do is, okay, you know, we do some of the work at the beginning of the year, which, by the way, you're already way ahead of the curve. However, by coming back and connecting on an ongoing basis, super powerful. There's a gal in Ultimate Impact, she literally writes down her top 10 goals each week, like handwrites them out. Really powerful process, great discipline, and a great way, especially if you're there writing them, allowing yourself to get emotionally connected. Okay, so one last thing we'll cover, and then I want to just open up the lines and hear from our listening audience, maybe either a theme that feels like something you really want to take on for the new year, or, you know, maybe it's just one or two big goals that you want to share with the group, just so we can add that into the mix of tonight's call. So this last piece I want to just talk about real quickly is the biggest mistakes people make in setting up their new year for success. Biggest mistake. So number one mistake is they don't do anything. They don't sit down, set aside the time. Oh, they're too busy. They think, oh, I know what my goals are in my head. And they don't do it. Biggest mistake. Every single one of the most powerful years I've ever had has involved really getting connected and clear at the first of the year. There's just those years, and they stand out in crystal clear clarity. The one particular vision board where we really spent 2 full days, and I spent time beforehand really planning for it, gearing up, and even after we were done that weekend, putting some of the final finishing touches on that vision board. So each of those years were totally marked by a really significant connection. Last year, I would say the same thing, too. I did a lot of visioning around my 5-city tour, my Inner Peace Immersion Retreat, launching Momentum Mastery Monthly, stepping into a lot of new things that I had not done as much before. Mistake number two is only creating a list of goals but never getting around to connect emotionally to them. So that's a big key. You've heard me, broken record today, tonight, connect emotionally. So step into that. Mistake number three is not having any support. In the years that I have made quantum leaps and really just feel amazing at the end of the year, are the years that I was involved in an active mastermind. I had one or more coaches. I may have been involved in a group coaching program, attended certain events to kind of keep me focused and keep myself emotionally aligned. Don't feel like you need to do it all yourself. Of course, Momentum Mastery Monthly is a really great place to just come back, and you may not be thinking week to week about the certain topics that we're covering here, but even if you're familiar with something like goal setting, isn't anything super brand new. You may have heard a lot of these ideas somewhere else before in different pieces, but here you get a concentrated dose of support and focus, and then if you take that and apply, you know, whatever that little tune-up is for the week into your everyday life, you'll notice over the course of a year a really nice compounding effect. So get support somewhere. Momentum Mastery is obviously one fabulous, great way to do it. Number four biggest mistake is that maybe you've gone through, you've created a fabulous vision board, you've created your year-long vision or some vision paragraphs, but then you don't come back and revisit it. It does happen sometimes with people that do year-long visions, and they don't come back and revisit it and connect with it on an ongoing basis. Somehow create yourself a structure, and I recommend at least weekly. I think weekly is way more ideal, very minimum monthly, but ideally weekly, where you're really, really connecting. When I first got introduced to year-long visions, I'll tell you one thing that we did that was super powerful. You may rally some colleagues or friends of yours to do this. Everyone created a one-page year-long vision, actually maybe like 3/4 of a page. And then what we did, we had, I think there were maybe 7 of us in that particular group, and each week at a particular time, all 7 of us would read one person's vision. And we didn't get on the phone to do that. We all did that in our individual places. Let's say, for example, Sarah was on the list. Great. All 7 of us, including Sarah, would read out loud her year-long vision, and then at, let's say, 12:05, everyone would read Nancy's vision. Then at 12:10, everybody would read my vision, and then so on and so forth. So the vision could be read in a total of 5 minutes, and that each person was connecting emotionally to that vision, kind of synergizing it, seeing it happen for the other person, really connecting into that. So reading it out loud, connecting emotionally to it. And also, we had people at different time zones involved. So let's say, for example, we decided 12 p.m. Pacific time was the start time. Well, if somebody was on the East Coast, then, of course, they're reading it at you know, 3 p.m. Eastern time, so that we're all energetically, you know, feeding it in at the same time. So it's a great example of, again, consistency, connection, but doing something on an ongoing basis. And a lot of amazing miracles that came out of that time, again, when all of us were participating in this, we called it imaging, with their year-long visions. And I've heard lots of remarkable stories about people really putting it out that they're going to meet their soulmate and get married, and, you know, businesses expanding, and again, kind of all supporting the same thing. And mistake number five, last but not least, is putting too much into the year. I'm one of those people that can err on that side, that mistake. And if we do too much, we can set ourselves up for failure. So what I do recommend is really being clear what the priorities are, what the top priorities are, and then, just because I like to make sure Santa Claus knows, well, what intentions I have, I may include some other things in a vision paragraph, or I may include other goals, but I kind of know that those are kind of secondary goals. Maybe they don't need to happen this year, but maybe they're part of the five-year plan. So just be mindful of doing too much, or being even too much being something that's so outrageous. So if you're $50,000 in debt and you've, you know, been maybe making, I don't know, $50,000 a year for several years, and you put a goal to make $1 million, you may be setting yourself up for disappointment. So combine kind of the realistic with what you truly desire. Because if it's too far of a disconnect, most people, not that it can't be done, but most people have a hard time making the jump from a $50,000 income to $1 million income without some steps in between. Okay, so that is what we've got in store here for tonight. So let's just check in. Who would be up for sharing a little bit about, you know, maybe a vision that you've got for the year, or a theme that you'd like to name for the year?
Hi, Mary. Stephanie.
Hey, Stephanie.
My theme for 2011 is going to be Year of Patience.
Ooh, the Year of Patience?
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
So what I embrace in that is being patient with myself, so that as I work on the different things I want for my year, my business, weight loss, finance, come with more ease and less stress and overwhelm.
Mm-hmm.
Demonstrating patience with others and allowing things to just really flow a lot more easily with a lot less stress, knowing that everything is unfolding as it should, and it's not my job responsibility to be a people pleaser or fix everything for others.
Oh, love it. Love it. So how's that feel?
Phenomenal.
Nice, nice. As you say, patience, it's like it's just sort of exuding and bubbling forth with this compassionate love and grace. And
mm-hmm.
Oh, lovely, lovely. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Oh, patience. Love it. Who else has a theme that you'd be willing to share?
This is Gary Merritt.
Yeah, Gary.
I would like to share the theme of dreams, living into your dreams.
Mm. Love it. And that's so perfect for what you're up to. You want to say a little bit about what the theme of living into your dreams is about?
Sure. It's based on, and actually in conjunction with the website, which I launched a couple days ago. It's called livingtheimpossibledream.com.
Beautiful.
And it's about following my own dreams, which I've put on hold for actually almost 3 years now, and then inspiring other people to step into their own dreams, which they think are, I think most people think that they have, like, a dream that's really, really out of reach. Whether they're living a good life or not, they're saying, you know, there's actually probably one thing or two things that I know I can't do. It's just out of my reach. And so it's about me following into my dream that I thought was impossible, and then inspiring others to do the same thing in their lives, whether it's personal or professional.
Great. Awesome. And you want to say a little bit more about what living into your dream is about?
Sure. Based on I mean, experience I had a couple of years ago when I was doing research overseas, I just became fascinated with learning languages and connecting with people in their own language, especially as an American. And normally we don't speak more than one language in this country, and I just had a particular experience that sort of changed me fundamentally a few years ago. And so that's been a dream of mine, to speak multiple languages, and then again, something I put on hold for a few years, and I decided to step into that. And it's interesting because it also allows me to, as I'm stepping into my own dream, then connect with people, which is another big theme of mine, is connecting, making personal connections in the world. And so, you know, there's really no more authentic way to do that than to really speak with someone in their own language, and if you're in another country. And at the same time, if I can inspire people in their own languages to follow their own impossible dreams, then it's sort of like even more in line with what I want to do. So it's a really nice fit. What I'm looking to do in all ways.
Nice. Love it. Love it. Love it. I think it's so inspiring. So great. LivingTheImpossibleDream.com. People can go
Got
check
it.
You out.
Will do.
Fantastic. And who else would love to share their theme for 2011? Michael, you want to jump in?
Sure.
All right.
I haven't quite figured out what my theme for 2011 will be yet. But one of the things that you were talking about a little bit earlier, when you talked about imagining what you want and then taking it and making it 1,000 times more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the exact words you used, but that really caught my attention.
Yes. What if your vision was 1,000 times bigger?
I can't begin to tell you how many times I have asked people if they could do anything or go anywhere or do anything, be anyone, what would they do?
Mm-hmm.
And I've asked myself that question many times as well. However, I've never considered, well, what if it was 1,000 times bigger than that?
Mm-hmm.
What would it be?
Mm-hmm. So that's got you thinking, huh?
Yeah.
Good. Well, and another way to even phrase that question, I guess a couple of years ago now, one of my mentors asked me, you know, what would be almost so exciting and almost too scary to do? And I knew immediately, it's like, oh, we're on a multi-day event, the Inner Peace Immersion Retreat. That would be it. You know, if I hadn't been phrased to me quite in that manner, there might not have been an Inner Peace Immersion Retreat this year and even the year before.
Right.
What's an element of your vision, maybe a goal or a piece that you want to step into for next year?
One step ahead.
Planning more than one step ahead?
Yes.
Great.
A few years back, I was at an event, and the speaker was talking about looking further ahead than just tomorrow. And after the speaker was gone, you know, I was talking with one of the other people in the audience, and they asked me about myself, you know, and what I do. And they said, so what are you going to do after that? And I thought to myself, I don't know. And I've always done that. I've always kind of lived in the now and not worried more than one step ahead of what was going to happen. And I'm starting to wonder, well, what would it be like if I actually had a plan that came after the plan?
Right. Yep. I think this is really key. I'm glad you're bringing this up because in many, many ways, I mean, even looking at a year, which isn't really that long of a time frame, is even can short-term thinking. And when we just are responding in the moment and kind of living day to day and kind of taking it one step at a time, you can imagine, say, if we wanted to build the Golden Gate Bridge, you know, one step at a time, it's like, really, you need to kind of plan things out. It's like, okay, well, how are we going to make this thing happen and the crews and the equipment and a lot of really big, magnificent things in the world were created because of planning multiple steps ahead. And,
multiple steps.
Yep. So I also invite everyone here listening in to spend a little bit of time thinking about what your 5-year vision is or what your 20-year vision is. And you know, that can even shift things and shift and shake things up a little bit more. I know my husband and I were driving back from Vegas. One of the Momentum Mastery members, Gail Burchill, got married last weekend, and John and I were part of their celebration. And we were coming back from Vegas and got into kind of a brainstorming about, you know, where we really want to be 5 years from now and where we want to be, you know, 20 years from now, and really kind of looking at some of the long-term vision. And one of our dreams is that we talked about is John had sailed from Newport Beach to New Zealand many years ago, took a couple of years to sail that, and he'd really love to go back and complete the journey, really go all the way around the world, probably not on a sailboat. I more want to go like, well, maybe it'll be a much larger sailboat, let's say, than the one he went on. And we hope to have children. And so the vision is really to take the children when they're, you know, maybe 5, 6 years old and do this journey around the world, have them be able to learn different languages, you know, in the spirit of Gary, you know, get the kids learning the languages when they're young, get them introduced to multiple cultures. And so that was, you know, one of the things. Well, just knowing that, you know, will that kind of shift and change how we set goals and priorities for this year? Okay, probably. So, like, we need to get the kids, you know, we need to get them into the picture here right away. So, so we've now got some examples of themes. I appreciate all of you for sharing that and giving our listeners some food for thought. So I'm noticing where we are with time, so we're going to just wrap things up here. And let's just take a couple gems. What are you taking from today's call? What are you taking from today's call? Those of you on the main line with me? Who'd like to chime in?
For me, one of the mistakes that you highlighted of not getting support.
Mm-hmm.
So as I think about 2011, I will work on exercising my willingness to receive support.
Beautiful.
Throughout 2011.
Beautiful. Awesome. And Gary?
That was actually interesting. That was going to be what I was going to say. That's something I haven't done too well in the past, but I'll add to that just the importance of focusing on a vision and then not only focusing on it, but also coming back to it, whether it's daily, weekly, monthly, because it's very easy to sort of lose focus on what you, on the grand plans you sort of formulated at, you know, one time of the year and just sort of let it slip between your hands.
Yep, yep. Fantastic. And Michael?
I think I've got a plan.
Ah.
I think I'm going to start by acknowledging and celebrating the current year, then creating the long-term plan, and then filling in a medium and shorter-term plan.
Love it. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Well, and we'll be checking in here in Momentum Mastery Monthly, so tune in and report as we go. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for being a part of the call. And those of you that are just listening in, join us again. All right. Bye-bye, everyone.
Happy holidays.